Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us today on Tilapia Farmers International. This is the show that we have the tilapia farmers of the world call in with their problems, such as, my tilapia water is dirty. What do I do? Or we solve other problems, such as, the tilapia don't grow very well. How could I feed them to make them grow better? So all of you tilapia farmers out there, please make sure that you tell other farmers that you know to listen to this show, the Tilapia Farmers International, and we'll be fantastic to get up to the 20 listeners that we're shooting for. Because I do believe there's like 20 tilapia farmers. I can't. That's right. This isn't the Tilapia Farmers Show. You've entered a new world.
But they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry.
to no one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
But there is an awful lot, and that's why you're here. No, it is not the Tilapia International's Farmers International Show. It is the Jack Hatfield Show, and I am your host, Bill Franklin. No, I'm just kidding. I am your host, Jack Hatfield. Very strange to have a show named after someone else when your name would be Bill Franklin. I'm just saying. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got lots of stuff going on this show today. We are going to kick it up notches. Woo! Goodness, I don't even know what to do. I'm pretty sure that lots of things will go really strange during this show, because we are going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We got our political segment at the end. I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing all of that political speak that's going on around the world. But the show always has a theme, and tonight's theme is... We're going to have real celebrity tweets coming in for you as this show comes on, ladies and gentlemen. Real celebrity tweets. I'm going to be watching. I've got my own feed of a special list of celebrities, and we are going to get tweets, breaking tweets, as we go through this show. It's going to be up. Here's our very first one. It's amazing. It is from Cookie Monster on Sesame Street. That's right. This one's Cookie Monster. Goes, gingerbread cookie is center of great debate. Is it cookie or is it cake? Oh, who cares? It's delicious either way. That is the very first tweet from our tweet stack that we got going on, ladies and gentlemen. That was the Cookie Monster. Great day. Here's another one. We got one more coming in before we start talking about the major news of the day. And while you're thinking about it, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. But here it is. Selena Gomez has just tweeted. And Selena says, yesterday launched UNICEF's World Water Week. Whoa. Wow. That sounds fantastic. Yesterday launched UNICEF's World Water Week. And I am celebrating by giving away some of my very own tap water. That's right, Selena Gomez. That is a real tweet from Selena Gomez right there. Wow, we've got a lot of stuff. This is crazy, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be crazy. All right, let's get started in a few minutes. It's going to be a fun time here on the Jack Hatfield Show. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Jack Hatfield, for the Jack Hatfield Show, where we are going to point out that you really need to start paying attention, because it's getting bad. Here's a crazy guy. He was a burglary suspect. A lot of people are getting tattoos these days. It's very strange. It's like they feel that they need to show off a different character or have someone special remembered forever. But this guy, Patrick Brooks, right here, really shooting for a job in various places. He has the words in large block letters, F-U, and not just F-U, it's the entire word. The F-U and the other two letters in that, the K and the C above the right eye, and then Y-O-U above the left eye. In bold letters, approximately an inch and a half tall. He is bald. So you can see these along with other various tattoos going around his head. He has two teardrops coming out of his right eye. He's got various other tattoos on his neck. But anyway, he has those words, F-U, the real words, the whole words, tattooed in the center of his forehead in large, thick, black block capital letters. All right, so he is seriously going for a job that's big time, right? Anyway, the 21-year-old from California was arrested yesterday for burglary, forgery, and receiving stolen property. He has also violated the terms of his parole from a previous conviction, and his police mugshot does show off his vulgar tattoo. He's picked up by the Reading Police Department. He is being held without bail in Shasta County Jail, where his tattoo is no doubt endearing him to his fellow inmates. I am positive of that. But he has tattoos of teardrops, as I said, tattoos down the side of his neck. And this is weird because just the other day, Jerome Smith, 27, from Ohio, has the word genius tattooed on his forehead, in the exact middle of his forehead. There's just one problem. The genius started with a J. Genius, tattooed across his forehead, started with a J. I don't have to make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a hand. Tattooed across your forehead? Not a whole bunch, I don't think. Not a whole bunch. Wow. I mean, a tattoo of something endearing or something you really, really want to see every day. Yes, but you can't even see this. You wouldn't even see this unless you're in the mirror, and he doesn't get in the mirror much because he doesn't have any hair to comb. Patrick Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, F-U across the forehead. Now, he was caught for burglary. And, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we just had another tweet come in. This is our tweet episode. And we have, like I said, celebrity tweets coming in because we believe that they are going to help us get this planet better, are they not? Yes, they are. It's going to be fantastic. This one comes from Jersey Shore or Jersey TV show Snooki or Snooki, but she spells it with two zeros. So really it's Snazerozeroki. So that's kind of weird. But Snooki, anyway, her tweet is, "This place looks like a screensaver." So that she must be somewhere very pretty. She must be somewhere very pretty. Anyway, back to the robbery. We had another robber. Did not have anything tattooed on him that I know of. But this is a Russian robber. This is why this is a world show. We talk about other countries as well, even though we really go into the in-depth here in America. But this is a Russian robber. His name was Viktor Jasinski. All right, he was only 32. He admitted to police that he had gone to the salon in Meshkovics, Russia, with the intention of robbing it. Okay, so he went into the salon, broke into it, but the problem is the owner, all right, Olga Zajic. Olga was in there as well. And she's a female shop owner, overpowered him, beat him because she has a black belt. Then apparently, ladies and gentlemen, found Victor to be a fine young man. As she tied him up naked in the back room of the salon. Okay? So black belt karate, Olga, kicks Victor, puts him down with one single kick, ties him up in the back, feeds him nothing but Viagra for 3 days, using him as a sex slave. Now, I know I can hear some of you movie buffs out there. Hey, that's Pulp Fiction. Anyway, she tied him up with a hairdryer cable, stripped him naked, and for 3 days, used him as a sex slave to teach him a lesson, force feeding him, again, Viagra to keep the lesson going. The robber was eventually released, and he said he learned his lesson. But he then went straight to the police and told them of his backroom ordeal, saying he'd been handcuffed to a radiator. The problem is, when you grow into a police station saying, I was robbing this place, and she tied me up and had sex with me. Anyway, when police arrived to question Olga, Olga simply said, what a bastard. Yes, we had sex a couple times, but I bought him new jeans, gave him food, and gave him 1,000 rubles when he left. So she paid him for his work, is what I'm thinking. Right? Should now he be arrested for prostitution? Also, so burglary and then prostitution, if he indeed did accept the 1,000 rubles. And then if you accept the 1,000 rubles, why would you go to the police? Just a question. Robbers in Russia, ladies and gentlemen. Robbers in Russia. Another tweet. This is our tweet show. We're going to keep this going. Ah, this is from tennis great Venus Williams right here. Oh, she seems to be eating. She spilled teriyaki sauce on my computer. Now my mouse pad won't work. Thought I was supposed to have world-class hand-eye coordination. Guess not. That was Venus Williams tweeting about her issues with the teriyaki sauce on her computer. So my guess is she's stuck listening to this show because her mouse doesn't work. So that is not good. That is not good. So we're going to keep an eye out for any more tweets from her on our tweet show, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Jack Hatfield Show. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. Got more to come right after all of this. All right, since we are on to sex slaves, I guess we should talk about this person, Catherine Becker, ladies and gentlemen. Catherine Becker. All right, now again, this is in Garden Grove, just south of Los Angeles. Becker called 911 reporting a medical emergency. When officers arrived, they found a 52-year-old man bleeding from his crotch. Now, the details after this little episode comes into play like so. Catherine Becker said to have made her husband dinner at their California home on Monday night and put an unknown poison or drug in the food to make him pass out. When he woke up, he was tied to the bed and could not move, while his wife then took a knife to his genitalia and then threw the organ into the garbage disposal and turned it on, therefore making it impossible to reattach. Then she called 911 saying there's been a problem. There's a slight issue. It would have been funnier if she'd have called, what is it, 649 drip or whatever it is, the plumbers, and go, there is something really weird sounding in my garbage disposal. Oh. So, we now know, what was that girl's name? Now, he had his stuff reattached. What was that girl's name that was the first to, Lorena Bobbitt, that's right. So, Becker did a Bobbitt on her husband. The couple was married, but they had begun divorce proceedings. Becker told the officers that her husband deserved it. The intention by this person, according to Lieutenant Nightingale of the Garden Grove Police Department, says, was to permanently deprive her husband of his genitalia. So now she is being held charged with aggravated mayhem. So that is aggravated all-state, false imprisonment, assault with a deadly weapon, administering a drug with intent to commit a felony, poisoning, and spousal abuse. So Becker did a Bobbitt. Oh, got another tweet coming in. Oh, my. This one. Got lots of things. Lots of things. Trying to read. They're flapping very fast by Twitter. The Twitter feed that we have is live. Live Twitter feeds. I mean, it is massive. Here it is. Little John, isn't he some kind of, he's a rapper, correct? Little John is a rapper. He was rushing home to take a dump and got called by, this is in all caps. This tweet is in all caps, ladies and gentlemen. Rushing home to take a dump and got caught behind a school bus dropping kids off. Longest 30 minutes of my life. He finished out the 160 characters with the f-e's. So apparently right now, Little John has a tremendous problem. So we're going to keep our eye on that. Little John has a small problem slowing down by the kids trying to do their school. I mean, really? You're not supposed to applaud that, kid. That's not something you want to do on a regular basis, I'm pretty sure. Oh my. Okay, so we're gonna keep up with our Twitter feed. Keep watching that. It's gonna be very good, very good. Just as a personal note for me, and you probably didn't hear about it, ladies and gentlemen, but the creator of the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island passed away today in the early hours of the morning. He was at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, had an intestinal infection, and underwent several surgeries. He was 94 years old. How fantastic is that? Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch helped shape television. I mean, this is good stuff. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how many kids did not watch Gilligan's Island for Skipper to hit his little buddy in the head with a hat. And then, of course, there's always the Marianne and Ginger argument. And then Lovey, Thurston Howell, making his spinoff from Mr. Magoo Incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. Now Schwartz didn't quit after Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch. He went on to write jokes for Bob Hope's radio show, including Adventure, and he wrote for other TV shows, including Ozzie and Harriet, and he dreamed up Gilligan's Island in 1964. As many of you know, the Gilligan's Island crew, Alan Hale, Bob Denver, Jim Backus, which is Mr. Howell, Natalie Schaefer, Tina Louise, that's a fantastic name right there, Tina Louise, and then Russell Johnson was the Egghead's professor, and then Dawn Wells, Marianne Summers, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic stuff. And then he came in Brady Bunch. That's right. Here's a story of a man named Brady. Gilligan's Island went on from 1964 to 1967. And it was just a fantastic show. So it will be missed. Brady Bunch went on from 69 to 74, and with a bunch of one-season spinoffs with the Brady Bunch Hour, the Brady Brides, and the Bradys in 1990. That's right. And then a Barry Brady sequel. So, rest in peace, Mr. Sherwood Schwartz. Sherwood Schwartz. Very hard to say, but he has passed away today. Now, Sherwood Schwartz was 94 years old. 94. That means a lot of people are living a long time, but I'm pretty sure if you read the news, everything is going to kill you. I've got a salt story right now that tells you you're hooked on salt because it's just as addictive like drugs and cigarettes. Yes. We're going to talk about that in 2 seconds, but if you do make it to the ripe old age of 94, there's a new sport, ladies and gentlemen. Seniors are picking up on it. In fact, you can get a bag that says I Heart Pickleball. That's right. The first rule of pickleball is that it has nothing to do with pickles. But its funny name hasn't stopped it from growing and becoming one of the fastest growing sports in America. Pickleball is a combination of, get this, tennis, ping pong, and badminton. Players use oversized ping pong paddles to hit the wiffle-like ball over the net on a surface about the third of a size of a tennis court. Rules of the game are similar to tennis with a slightly shorter net. Mike Zizmijan, pickleball coach at Sunnyside Health and Tennis in Fresno, California, says it's fun, it's competitive, but the skill level's much less. Pickleball came from the founder's Cocker Spaniel named Pickles. The sport was created in 1965. 1965, but is just now catching on, especially among people over the age of 50 because the low-impact sport is less strenuous on the joints and played on a much smaller court. Comments from players are such as, you don't run as much, you get some hand action, same footwork, same thought process, but you don't run as much, so it's easier on the body. Retirement communities like Florida and Arizona have become pickleball hotspots. The Villages in Florida has more than 100 pickleball courts and has been called the Mecca of pickleball. Over in Arizona, Addict Ken Engel has no problem finding a partner because there's 5,000 registered players within 1 hour, so there's no problem finding a match in Arizona. Engel plays 6 days a week for about 3 hours. He has played in tournaments hosted by the USA Pickleball Association. That's right, the U.S. Pickleball Association, right, where people all around the world can enjoy the sport together. I'm not making this up. This game is also featured at the Huntsman World Senior Games in Utah. That actually exists as well. It's pretty easy to learn. Once you do learn it, you'll find it's not as strenuous as other sports. You can play for a couple hours and not get as tired. And it's less expensive than tennis. And since the equipment is cheaper, a pickleball paddle can cost around $20 to $70. And a pickleball costs a couple bucks. So get out there, seniors, and show everyone your pickle. Pickleball. Excuse me. Got another tweet coming in. Pretty crazy here. Kim Kardashian, she tweets a lot, but here's one that just flew by. Do peanuts have carbs? Do peanuts have carbs? Someone needs to answer her and let her know. No, not much. No, not much. Not really in the carb food aisle area. So Kim Kardashian asking her followers to help her out with her diet quandaries, ladies and gentlemen, her diet quandaries. Very important. All of her followers need to answer her as fast as possible. You know, and I just gave you the answer, so you should be okay. So make sure you get on there and take care of her. It's very important. This is an emergency situation. Right? Right? Right. I do hope someone has helped her out. I really do. It's very important. Oh, we got a lot of tweets right here. Oh, goodness. This is from 50 Cent now, ladies and gentlemen. He is a true gentleman, I know. I'm going to phonetically give this to you because some of these words are not spelled correctly. I'm a get me one of them bitches from a third world country. At least she won't have high expectations. Here's a clean glass of water, baby. LOL. That's 50 Cent tweeting about his plans for obtaining, I believe, a third world country female of some sort. These are actual tweets, ladies and gentlemen, that we are following through because we do believe that celebrities are going to help us fix the world, right? Well, I'm guaranteeing you that pretty soon, as you know, in New York, the salt content is all over the place. And just last week, we found out salt doesn't hurt you, right? Very strange. Here's the problem. They just came out. Another research claims salt, because once you have an article that comes out and says salt's bad, pretty much a week later, you're going to have one that says salt's not good, right? So researchers are now claiming that salt is as addictive as cigarettes or hard drugs. That's right, because it triggers the same genes, brain cells, and brain connections as hard drugs. Salt, a mineral that you have to have. Where do I start? Where do I start? Salt in fish and in the ocean balances the electrolytes of fish. Salt in water, even fresh water, balances the electrolytes of fish. Salt in your body balances your electrolytes. It's a mineral that you have to have in some form. You're going to have it regardless of whether you put on that heavily refined table salt that you should not be using. But anyway, just so you know, the no fun scientists came around. They kept some mice on low salt diets and gave the others a salt drip. Now, that's a humongous difference. You, no salt for you. And you press this button. At activity in the creature's brains was then compared with that in mice fed normally. Okay? They also studied the brains of mice that had been starved of salt for 3 days and then given salty water to drink freely. When the rodents were in need of salt, I want you to grasp what I'm about to say. When the rodents were in need of salt, brain cells made proteins more usually linked to addiction to substances such as heroin, cocaine, and nicotine. In other words, your brain found out that your body was low on a mineral. Your electrolytes were going to go vastly out of balance. So it kicked up a notch and turned on something to tell you to go eat salt. Now, Professor Derek Denton doesn't see it the way I see it. He says, in this study, we've discriminated one classic instinct. The hunger for salt is providing neural organization that subserves addiction to opiates and cocaine. The study also revealed that after the salt was taken, the brain believes it has received its fix well before it should be physically possible. In other words, the changes caused by the salt cravings disappeared where before the salt could have left the gut, entered the blood, and got to the brain. Does that mean the brain and the body's a little smarter than you, Professor Denton? Does that mean the brain knows that it's coming because of what the tongue told it? Does it mean that there's an evolutionary mechanism of survival in our body that says, hey, is it a mechanism of survival because when an animal is depleted of water or salt, it can drink what it needs in 5 to 10 minutes and get out, which makes it less susceptible to predators? Does that mean that when you do have a salt need in your body, that your body is electrolyte imbalanced, that your brain says, go, drink a lot. When your tongue tastes it, your tongue sends back, there's salt on the way, big dog. Brain goes, okay, don't need it anymore. Run off and do something else. We'll check it in a little while. But of course, Professor Denton didn't say this my way. He said it was amazing to see the genes that were set off by the loss of sodium were already beginning to get back to its original state within 10 minutes. He says that it means the cravings for it form an ancient instinct deeply embedded in the brain. This may explain why we find salty food so tasty. Maybe because it explains that eating all this refined salt doesn't really give us the sodium balance that we're looking for. Maybe so. But it does not put the case in the right spot. Okay? Let's just, if everybody were to become a scientist tomorrow, all right? Everyone go to your local pet store and grab some mice. Pick a food and feed it a lot of it. All right? I want you to inject mice with pickle juice like 5 gallons a day and then write up what happens to that mice. Put a professional observation that says pickle juice turns mice kind of green and makes them smell funny. So that we can have an article that says pickle juice will kill you. Do you understand this? When I first read this article, I said, look, people, I don't have any mice. What does this article have to do with me? Oh, goodness. So, okay. Now, remember last week we talked about salt? Not bad for you this week. Salt is addictive as cocaine and opiates. Whew. Whew. Wow. Goodness. P. Diddy tweet just came through. Oh, goodness. The tweet says, who's having sex right now? I am. Let's make love. LOL. Well, it's kind of weird. If he's having sex right now, why is he tweeting? And then why is he asking you to make love? And then he laughs about it and runs off. So, P. Diddy, worried about who is having sex right now. These are actual tweets by, of course, the smartest people in the world. We all know this. Celebrities are going to fix everything. They're very, 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 very important. To Kesha, she is an up-and-coming singer. She just tweeted, this is important, she tweeted, glitter in my butt crack. So all of her followers need to get on there and make sure she's okay. Apparently she's having some sort of issue with possible wardrobe malfunctions or other things. It's very, very strange. But she has glitter in her butt crack. Kesha, not good. This is the Tweet Show, ladies and gentlemen. The Twitch episode of the Jack Hatfield Show. All my name comments at 167 alert, 6 character alert, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. Everything. I don't care. With glitter in her butt crack, there is now a new unstoppable sex disease. That's right, unstoppable. Okay? It has resisted all antibiotics and could now spread quickly. It has been resistant to all drugs, and it has been discovered by scientists. Now, it does not say it's in people. Actually, no, one case is confirmed. One case has been confirmed. So, this sexual disease, the strain of super gonorrhea. Okay? Up until now, gonorrhea has been very easy to treat with antibiotics called cephalosporins. Not cephalopods. Cephalosporins. Patients usually need only a single pill or jab. But Swedish scientists who analyzed the new strain found in Japan... Okay. Remember, we're going to scare you off of a lot of things in Japan because they have had some nuclear issues, correct? How does this all wind together in our fruit bowl of politics and love and life? How does this all mix? I'm simply asking the questions. I bring this up for you. That's why you're here, listening to the smartest show in the world. Anyway, Swedish scientists analyzed the new strain coming from Japan, okay, and it has mutated, let me use that word again, because again, Japan, nuclear problem, mutated to resist current treatments. Magnus Unimo. I have to have that name. I have to change my name. He is the Swedish scientist that found this. Magnus Unimo. Could be Unimo. Either way, it ends with Mo. He is at the research laboratory for pathogenic Neisseria in Orebro. I'm going to say that again for my own benefit. Research laboratory for pathogenic Neisseria in Orebro. I currently do not know what Neisseria or Orebro mean. Let's see if we can go to our super bat computer in the bat cave. Neisseria are a large family of commensal bacteria that colonize the mucosal surfaces of many animals. Okay? Okay? You got that? Now, Orebro means the mucus linings of the sexual areas of your body. Okay, so Magnus Unimo is a scientist at this place at a research laboratory for pathogenic communal bacteria in the mucus linings of your sex areas. That's the new common line for pathogenic Neisseria in Orebro. He says it is an alarming discovery. Since antibiotics became the standard treatment for gonorrhea in the 1940s, this bacterium has shown a remarkable capacity to develop resistance mechanisms to all drugs introduced to control it. While it is still too early to assess if this new strain has become widespread, the history of newly emergent resistance in the bacterium suggests that it may spread rapidly unless new drugs and effective treatment programs are developed. So here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. They found something. They're telling you it's going to kill you. It's unstoppable. But then on the other side they go, it could kill us all unless we get new drugs and treatment programs. Dr. David Livermore of the Health Protection Agency, I believe that's in Britain, said that while antibiotics were still effective at treating gonorrhea, there were signs of growing resistance to them. Our lab tests show that the bacteria are becoming less sensitive to these cephalosporins. And a few treatment failures reported. That means we have to change the type of cephalosporin that is used and possibly increase the dosage. The worry is that we will see gonorrhea become a much more difficult infection to treat over the next 5 years. Prevention is better than cure. Condom. New strain of the sexually transmitted disease is now called H041. Excuse me, H041. Not HO41, H041. So it was found in Japan, and it has left doctors with no other option than to try untested medicines to combat it. Left untreated, it will cause infertility in women and men, and can be life-threatening if it spreads to the blood and joints. Gonorrhea can affect people of all ages, and everyone should now be focusing on looking after their sexual health. Half the women, 1 in 10 men, will not be aware they have the disease for several months. The infection can spread to the womb and the ovaries, increase the risk of pelvic inflammatory disease. It's a very painful condition, been linked to infertility and ectopic pregnancy, wherein the fetus develops outside the womb and cannot survive. Men that develop infections in the testes and prostate gland, which can reduce their fertility. So, new strain of gonorrhea. Dun, dun, dun. I need that button. I need a dun, dun, dun button. I don't have a dun, dun, dun button. Horrendous. Definitely need a dun, dun, dun button. Oh, let's get in while we have a tweet coming through again from 50 Cent. He apparently tweets a lot. It says, I'm going to read it verbatim, I have to leave out the word, but it says, I need a smart so she can be teaching me. I like that kind of shit. It turned me up. Just joining us, you are joined into the Jack Hatfield Show with the Twitter episode, where we've got a special live feed of Twitter, actual tweets from celebrities. It's fantastic. We're learning so much. I mean, these people can save the world, right? These are the celebrities that we so endearingly fight to learn about every day, and that we read more about them. I mean, remember the story of the book Think, because most women on the street know every Kardashian, but they cannot name the three branches of government or any branch of government. Okay? So that's why we are doing this, because we are going to get straight from the source of all this intelligence, straight from the source. Of all this intelligence. Speaking of more intelligence, there's always intelligence when you have the Magnificent Minute from Adele Omani. She is originally from Ireland, lives currently in the UK, and she is one of the smartest people I know. She teaches you how to learn to bring the good stuff to you by manifesting your thoughts in the proper place. And she is always on our show. At this time, and seems to be a little flaw here. We've lost an Adele file. Do 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 da. Yes. So we're going to have to bring this back. Small. Remember, you did not pay to get in, so this is very important for you to know. Adele's Magnificent Minute. She's really, really awesome. We're going to get that started in just 1 second. While that's happening, let's talk about Rabbi, Randy Rabbi. Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Rabbi was caught on tape. All right? In bed with a prostitute after a sting set up by his wife. That's right. A prominent New York rabbi thought he was setting up a romp with a sexy call girl, but instead he ended up in the bed with a private investigator hired by his estranged wife. Rabbi Abraham Rabinowitz, vice president of the Long Island, New York Board of Rabbis. That's right. He had a habit of cavorting with prostitutes. Some of these encounters even took place on the Sabbath after services concluded. There is a video of him with his trousers down, enjoying the charms of a call girl and the undercover private investigator. He was caught when his psychologist wife, Amora, found out about the trice during a bitter custody battle. So she hired a private investigator, set up the sting to catch her husband. All right, on tape, enjoying his extramarital encounters. Since when are prostitutes kosher? Amora said to the New York Post. The rabbi also leads the wealthy and conservative Belmore Jewish Center. He was coming to court claiming he was this pious individual, but he was using the phone on the Sabbath to meet prostitutes. The sting happened in a cheap hotel in Queens when Rabinovich contacted a madam who was actually the private investigator. He told her, "I am tall and nice looking. Don't worry, I'm okay." Rabinovich is seen relaxing on a hotel bed while two women, one of whom is the undercover investigator, hover over him and attend to his needs. And, of course, Amora, his former wife, blasted her former husband, telling the Post, "And what kind of rabbi is he? He didn't even take these prostitutes to the mikveh, which is the Jewish ritual cleansing bath first. What is he doing, praying or laying? He needs help, serious help, to be a healthy individual and to be a proper role model to both the children and community. I have rabbi then was asked about his stuff, and he said, 'I have no response. Have a nice day.' At least he wished us all well. Have a nice day." Very important. Very, very important. So, goodness. Not a lot of comments you can say about that. Not a lot of comments you can say about it. You can talk about another tweet here, ladies and gentlemen. Jessica Biel on how she keeps her body. She just tweeted. She says, here's her tweet, actual tweet. "I work out every day, Monday to Saturday." That's how she keeps her body, ladies and gentlemen. Not saying too much about her mind. And then, another tweet coming through. Brooke Hogan. I think this is daughter of Hulk Hogan or wife of Hulk Hogan. One of them. Her tweet is, "I really love clowns and unicorns." Clowns and unicorns. That's right. You're on the Twitter episode of the Jack Hatfield Show. But let's pause all of that and get to where we need to be, which is Adele's Magic Minute. Thank goodness we'll have a good portion of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy.
My name is Adele Omani, and I would like to welcome you to Adele's Magic Minute. On this part of the show, I would like to be able to bring you answers to questions that are being answered about attracting love, wealth, happiness, success into your life. By what you hold in your thoughts, focus on, give your attention to, you attract into your experience, good or bad. We attract everything from our thoughts. Our thoughts bring everything into our experience. So whatever you are going through at the moment, if you are going through situations that you don't like, you are struggling for work, you are struggling for money, really think, how often do you keep this in your thoughts? How often do you think, "I don't have money. I really wish I could find a job. Why is this happening to me?" All of these types of thoughts you are actually attracting more of the same to come to you. It is understanding that everything that we live and work around is based on energy, and our thoughts are also energy. We send out energy vibration every time we think a thought and every time we have a feeling. Our emotions are incredibly strong energy patterns. So if we are in lack, if we have no money, we have no love in our life, we feel lonely, we tend to send out a stronger vibration when we are in lack. But when you change the way you think, when you start to think of all that you desire in your life as if it is already here, when you start to believe that you have the job that's going to bring you thousands of dollars extra a month, that you have money flowing to you, that you've attracted your perfect partner, when you fully think this and focus on and give your attention to these kinds of thoughts, you are then sending out a completely different message to the universe. The universe does not hear words. The universe hears vibration. So whatever you resonate, whatever you vibrate out energetically, is what the universe is picking up. So when you start to feel that you have money, when you start to feel that you are in that better job, that you have you've become a successful manager or a successful department head or running your own business, when you feel you are loved, when you feel that there are people that are coming to you who love to be in your company, that you have attracted the perfect partner to you, somebody who is there, who cares for you, is there to be with you by your side, that is when the universe will pick up the right message. That is when the universe will turn around and say, I hear you, and I'm going to give you exactly what you are vibrating. I will attract to you exactly the same. And when you do this, that is when things start to change. You must believe that it is possible. It is very, very important that you believe it is possible. And to do that, you need to believe in yourself. So if you want that success and that love, please, please, please get those thoughts changed.
Just listening to Adele Amani. Thank you, Adele, for that magic, magnificent minute. Just listening to her should get you to get your brain in tune to what you're needing to know. I mean, that is some fantastic knowledge. She gives you like an entire course in her minute, in her magnificent minute. It is really, really a fantastic thing. You can follow her on Twitter as well, twitter.com/AdeleOmani, and that other place. Follow her or like her as well. This is the Twitter episode of the Jack Hatfield Show, and we are about to enter our second hour. And so for our second hour, we always play, again, the world record for the world's longest show opening.
crazy, mad, insane world.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Then he eventually died at the age of 13. We talked about the father and mother who did a whole bunch of bad things to the boy. And the coroner has decided that he died of a blunt force trauma injuries to and a fractured skull. So it appears that he was beaten to death along with being caged. But they found out something else. They found out 13 people might have known of the abuse endured by the boy before his death, but no one said nothing to authorities. One person does claim that she took her concerns to the state's Department of Child Services. Okay? And that the Department of Child Services... the agency received and investigated both allegations. A DCF staffer stopped by the home in 2008, never even stepped foot in the house. Kim came out of the house, stood there on the sidewalk, talked to the lady, and I just remember thinking, go inside. DCS officials said they cannot comment because of the gag order issued last week by criminal court Judge Diane Boswell. But... agency spokesman Ann Houseworth said last month that three high-level staff members would review the circumstances surrounding the boy's death. That's right. DCS visited the house where this boy was kept in a dog cage and beaten. 13 people knew of this abuse and nothing kept this boy from being killed. Remember in his handwritten notes we spoke about last week, he said he wanted to be loved, even though he was he just wanted to be liked. His sole means of entertainment appears to have been pencil and paper. He wrote of how nobody liked him and how he just wanted to be liked by his family. But if nobody liked the way he acted, he just wanted to die. Many of his writings stated he was hungry and thirsty. Just wanted to bring that up as we bring you TCS was created to prevent, you know, these items. And here we are highlighting now the fact that they're maybe not doing their job. Not good. Not good. In another wonderful government highlight here. Wait a minute. Another tweet from 50 Cent just coming through. This is the tweet episode of the Jack Hatfield Show. Here we go. This looks like it's he feels bad about what he said already in the other Twitters. He says, speaking of MILF, I want to do something that impacts kids in a positive way. That's why I'm opening an abortion clinic. I'm going to call it 50-50 chance. Real life tweet right there from 50 Cent. Remember, we are highlighting. Wait, Tom Hanks just tweeted that everyone knows Tom Hanks is one of the smart ones. I mean, one of the absolute brilliant human beings on earth. Right? This is why we're doing the Twitter episode of the Jack Hatfield Show. Because we're following the people that are going to start making a difference. You know these people. I mean, we are reading about these people more than we're reading about the debt ceiling. Right? It's supposed to have to be raised. Well, how's it a ceiling if it has to be raised, right? That's a weird question. We'll have to ask that later on in our political segment, maybe. But what I'm saying here is, you know, we're not reading about the important stuff. We're reading about what these celebrities are doing, and because they are so fantastic and smart. Well, anyway, Tom Hanks, before it goes away, by the end of the year 2011, personal jewelry will be replaced by gem-studded tags that say, "Hello, my name is." Life will be simpler. Hanks. That's right. He signed off. H-A-N-X. H-A-N Hanks. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks. Smart person. Paris Hilton tweeted, No, I didn't go to England. I went to London. Very crucial. So Paris is telling us where she did and didn't go. It's very important. Very, very important. So, anyway, back to some interesting stuff. Here's the problem. Remember how we're supposed to, you know, conserve the whales and the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society, right, was created, and they take people. There's now whale watching groups. In fact, 13 million people enjoy whale watching all across this globe. Okay? However, the problem is, now we can no longer watch the whales. The Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society is saying organized whale watching can have negative effects on the health of the pods. Vanessa Williams Gray, who has the responsible whale watch program at the WDCS, says each trip differs in its effect on the creatures. Badly run trips can translate into all sorts of negative reactions from the whales. They can stop resting or increase their respiratory rate. If they're using more energy, they will have this impact on health. Other experts suggest frequent interaction with whales can stop them foraging for food or even impact the survival of their young. He's saying, so watching the whales, females can even stop producing enough milk for their calves, which can decrease the survival rate of their young. So the International Whaling Commission will now discuss measures to control badly managed trips at a conference held in Jersey this week. It sets out a series of measures to control human activities which harm whales, including badly managed whale watching and entanglement in fishing gear. And I'm pretty sure entanglement in fishing gear actually harms the whale. Watching the whale? Watching the whale. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the farther we go down the road, the more amazing it's going to be. Watching the whale started at, we need to save the whales. Very common, good practice. Now it's, you can't even look at them. So all you whale watchers out there, stop it. Just quit it. Now that's a, again, 13 million people. That's a $1.3 billion business, whale watching. Do you think that's going to end overnight? $1.3 billion? Speaking of whales, scientists are studying why in the world you people keep seeing stuff. Right, they're saying that you keep seeing like the Loch Ness Monster or other Nessie-like creatures. So now these experts have gotten together and they say, hey, they could really exist. That's right. Scientists are, this is why you have to listen to the show, because you did not even know they were meeting. But they're discussing the possibility of large undiscovered creatures in the sea at the Zoological Society of London today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, one of the speakers, science writer and paleontologist Dr. Darren Naish, said the huge number of sea monster sightings now on record can't all be explained away as mistakes, sightings of known animals, or hoaxes. At least some of the better ones, some of them made by trained naturalists and such, probably are descriptions of encounters with real, unknown animals. Okay? Because new large marine animals continue to be discovered, various new whale and shark species have been named in recent years, the idea that such species might await discovery is the very least plausible. Some have suggested the present-day monsters might be plesiosaurs, long-necked marine reptiles that lived at the time of dinosaurs, or other survivals from the prehistoric world. Dr. Naish thinks this is unlikely because the prehistoric survival paradigm contradicts what is known about fossil record. The idea that these sea monsters might be such things as living plesiosaurs is not a good explanation at all. Now, this meeting that's going on today, ladies and gentlemen, is called Cryptozoology, Science or Pseudoscience, is being organized by Dr. Charles Paxton. He argues that it's wrong to assume that any large animal living in the ocean would necessarily have been discovered by now. If the criteria is solely bigness, then this is not the case. In 1995, a Bethnic ray that lives on the ocean floor was found, and it measured 3.42 meters. That's about 10 feet. There's a difference between animals that live on the sea bottom and those that come up to breathe air, because we have discovered a number of new species of whale. Nessie could be a survival of the prehistoric world. This is important. Now, cryptozoology literally means the study of hidden animals. It refers to the search for mythical creatures whose existence has not been proven, such as Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, and the Abominable Snowman. And zoologists and cryptozoologists agree that the full inventory on large animals is not complete. What we need now to decide is whether cryptozoology data can be considered as valid scientific evidence when searching for new species. In other words, can a shadowy photograph be dismissed? Everyone's seen that Loch Ness photograph. Here's famous monsters. The Yeti, the Bigfoot, right? Now, these are abominable snowmen. That's not Bigfoot. It's the abominable snowmen, the Yetis. A Yeti episode has been on even the Backyardigans. For those of you who don't know who that is, you have no children. Of course, Loch Ness Monster, Nessie. Believers say it is the longest surviving plesiosaur, carnivorous aquatic reptile. Evidence of existence is anecdotal, with minimal and much disputed photographic material and sonic readings. Of course, there's Bigfoot, Sasquatch, across the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. Most recent sighting was in Pennsylvania in 2007. But a park keeper dismissed it as a bear with a severe case of mange. And then there's Mothman. While the bird-like creature hasn't seen in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, since the bridge collapse in 1967, the tiny village does have a museum and a statue to the creature of Mothman. And, of course, we can't forget Lizardman down in South Carolina. These things are crucial. And so cryptozoologists say you need to start paying attention. Steve Bastoni just tweeted. He tweets, the better I feel about myself, the less idiots there are on the road. True. True. I don't know who Eli Roth is, but his tweet just came through. Anyone else having a serious cupcake hangover? I don't know. But his followers should be checking on him for the rest of the night. Very important. Very, very important. Again, this is our Twitter episode. Uh-oh. Everyone knows Lady Gaga, and her tweet just came through. Love is like a brick. You can build a house, or you can sink a dead body. That's right. Lady Gaga. Very important. Very, very important. We're following these tweets of the smartest people on earth because we know that celebrities are the only people that's going to save us. In fact, we follow them so much. We know more about the Kardashians than we know about our branches of government. So that's, of course, why we're following them here on the Twitter episode of Jack Hatfield Show. We want to see what all the hubbub's about and see what they're going to say right when they say it. I mean, because they're obviously going to be saying things that we need to take to heart. I mean, 50 Cent has already said a bunch of amazing stuff, has he not? I mean, he said, he just tweeted again. This is amazing. I'm talking about him. That's like, I don't know, you talk about someone, they show up. That's kind of, it's one of those things. He says, I can't believe my grandmother's making me take out the garbage. I'm rich. F this, I'm going home, I don't need this shh. So 50 Cent, a true gentleman there, worried at his grandma's house, taking care of business, and apparently a little upset about it, but still, that we're following these people because it's very, very, very important. Right? Of course it is. More show. We'll be right back. Now, this is something I got to pull up before I bring up the big thing of the day. A lot of people talk about their big thing of the day right at the beginning of the show. Ah, that's good blueberry lemonade. Fresh. Fresh, homemade blueberry lemonade. I got to talk about this pregnant teen who still goes out drinking 5 nights a week. But says she'll stop drinking when her bump starts showing. Her other comment is, if I throw up, I can say it's the baby. She also pretends she has morning sickness when she's so hungover she is sick. She drinks up to 32 drinks a week. The recommended drinks for women who are pregnant is 14. Says she's worried about her friends will think she's boring if she stops going out. She still goes clubbing every Saturday and Sunday. Goes to the pub 3 times a week, but she would start drinking at home instead when she starts to having to wear maternity clothes. The 5-month pregnant mom-to-be said, I'm not an idiot. I know I might be doing my baby harm. To defend herself, she says, I'm young and I don't feel ready to stop my life. I'm trying to get the most out of it while I can. When I don't fit into my size 12 dresses, I'll stop. An average weeknight probably involves drinking only a WKD Alco-Pop, a glass of wine, and maybe a half pint of beer. But on weekends, she stays out until 7 a.m., downing Alco-Pops, beer, cider, and Jaeger bombs. Holly's mother and boyfriend have both tried to get her to slow down, branding her selfish. But instead, she uses her pregnancy to hide how much she's drinking because she says, if I throw up, I can say it's the baby. And when I go to the cafe for a fry-up, I can say it's because I'm eating for two. While doctors do disagree how bad it is for your unborn child to have an occasional drink, all agree drinking excessively is a very bad idea. Drinking heavily has been shown to increase the risk of miscarriage. Stillbirth and babies are more likely to be born with deformities. In fact, there's the fetal alcohol syndrome. And the executive director of National Organization for Fetal Alcohol Syndrome, Susan Fleischer, adds it's not too late for Holly to make a positive difference for her baby. Anytime she stops drinking will improve the outlook for her child. Fleischer is the adopted mother of a 23-year-old who suffers from the fetal alcohol poisoning syndrome. Not all children are affected by heavy drinking, but the majority are. Binge drinking is especially damaging because the baby gets a heavy hit. Third trimester is especially important for the development of memory and other mental health, but any part of the brain can be affected. Now, let's pull in some fun stuff. How many people were mad at Casey Anthony walking free? Which is tomorrow, by the way. I pretty much heard every single female I know be upset because they were positive she killed her kid. Because she wanted to have fun. So many girls and women said, look at her. Right after she killed her daughter, she went out partying. She went out and got into a hot bod contest, right after she killed her daughter. Should have been guilty. Mad at the jurors. People were following jurors around. News women were crying. The shock of the non-guilty verdict. rolled over this country. Even the Kardashians weighed in with a tweet that they were upset. But you do not hear a thing from those same women. From the same news lady. Would she have cried if Casey Anthony killed her baby in her belly? Is anyone mad at this 19-year-old, 5 months pregnant, drinking till 7 a.m.? Anyone? Anyone? As we do here on the Jack Hatfield Show, we also started Fix the Family, Fix America, remember? We feel that every child is a chance to get it right. And it is amazing. My daughter just turned 7 yesterday. We had a fantastic birthday weekend. To have children is an amazing thing. As I said, we no longer revere the child. This teen is more upset what her friends are going to think than she is worried about harming her baby. Because she's young and she's not ready to start finish with her life yet. And according to all the women, this is the same feeling Casey Anthony had when she thought that her child was bringing her down and killed it, right? But wait. This young lady's killing her child while it's inside her. No one says a word. Mom and boyfriend don't even intervene except for little complaints. Father of the child doesn't man up and make her stop. Actually, there's a picture of father and mother, soon to be, at a bar, looking at the TV in a sports show while they're drinking. Does dad care about the baby? Again, she's 19. Casey Anthony, I don't know how old she is. Anyone know? 24? Yeah. News lady's crying because she got off not guilty. Is it the way you could look at it is Casey Anthony did a very late term abortion. And if you look at it that way, it's not going to bother any of these, some of these ladies. There's no outrage of a 19-year-old saying, I'm young and I don't feel ready to stop my life. I take no responsibility for my actions. She even says I'm not an idiot, which is hilarious. I'm not an idiot. I know I might be doing my baby harm. (sighs) Now, she's worried about her life being normal now. The baby comes out with severe deformities or has a mental defects or has fetal alcohol syndrome. If she doesn't love it now, how much is she going to love it with all of those problems? This is amazing. This is one of the problems we discuss here on this show. Yes, we have a lot of fun, but then we have to bring this up. We have to bring this stuff up. We're the show that's going to make you think. What is the difference between the outrage of Casey Anthony's not guilty verdict and absolutely no outrage on this 19-year-old party girl, pregnant, 5 months pregnant? In fact, how many of you even knew this was happening? Is it sad? Is it sad that we had that much reaction to Casey Anthony and none to this lady? How about all the people that can't have a baby, can't enjoy being a mother, carrying the baby inside them, and read this? The nonchalant view of this 19-year-old, because she doesn't want her life to be disrupted. She says, I'm young and I don't feel ready to stop my life. So in fact, even engaging in the sex that she was doing, which caused her to be pregnant, she doesn't even have an issue with any of that. And since you can't do any studies on what harms the baby or when the baby feels things, you can't say she's child abuse yet. There will actually be people that will argue against that. I just talked about how the guy, the 13-year-old boy who was caged, beaten by his parents, are now going to jail for child abuse, or at least they're going to be on trial for it. But because this child's in the womb, no child abuse. It really makes you sit and wonder what is happening to people that are no longer placing human life on a very high scale. And how about the guy we talked about earlier who has FU not in all the words spelled out, tattooed on his forehead in 1.5-inch letters. What does he want to aspire towards? What is the other burglary guy who had genius misspelled on his forehead, a tattoo of genius spelled with a J? Where do these people want to aspire to in their life? Oh, wait, I know what they want to aspire to. They want to aspire to celebrities. Ah, speaking of intelligence coming right out of celebrity's mouth, because these people are more important than life around you. This is very vital. Very vital. Mary J. Blige. Does anyone know her? Mary J. Blige. She just tweeted, I'm going to say this as good as I can so that you can understand it. Why is that people always try to understand, estimate my intelligence? Intelligent. They should never do that. I'm going to reread this tweet. Why is that people always try to understand, estimate my intelligent, and understand, estimate. Ashton Kutcher just tweeted, this is very, very crucial. Watching dictated countries implode is just crushing. What? John Mayer. Everyone loves listening to John Mayer music, right? He has tweeted, I need to stop taking pills with names that are palindromes. Xanax, H. Kaninknock, Lipilipil, Ceres, XR, Odin's Fury. That was an awful lot of big words in 160 characters. Does anyone know who Solange is? I don't know who she is, but she just tweeted that her thumb itches and her armpits smell like SpongeBob fever. These are real tweets. These are real tweets from the smart people. Casey Anthony, not guilty. Holly Piggott, pregnant teen, drinking till she vomits at 5 months pregnant. And says, I can blame it on the baby. And remember, she says she will start drinking at home when the bump starts to show. She's 5 months pregnant. You see my point, ladies and gentlemen? Now, let me tell you one thing. Before I get into the political portion here of the show, as you know, we are on record for the world's longest intro of the show, and that's because we have to fit all of the stuff that means something. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. Very crucial. That's life. Been a puppet, poet, pauper, pawn and a king. Been up and down and all around. But I know one thing. That's life. These things are crucial for people to know. But what's even funnier is some of the other stuff in my opener. Now, I hate to do this. I can tell you that right now. But I got to tell you, my guy Bill Lee is the guy who voiceovers my opener. He's fantastic. And if you want to use him for your stuff.
Hi there. This is Bill Lee of Bill Lee Voice Imaging. You can find me on the web at BillLee.net. If you need a voice for a narration project, say a wedding, a video, a commercial, or any kind of project that needs a voice, check me out. I think you'll be happy with what you hear and happy with the rates. That web address again is BillLee.net. I've voiced projects for Northrop Grumman, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, and even the President of Guyana. No project is too big or too small for me. Give me a chance to go to work for you. I can make a difference. That web address again is BillLee.net. BillLee.net. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
That's right. One of the greatest openers of all time. Voiceover in part by Bill Lee, my man Bill. Got to give him an email here in a few minutes. Okay, let's get to some political stuff. That's right. Remember now, this is the Twitter episode of the Jack Hatfield Show because we wanted straight out of the smartest people in the world. We wanted these celebrities. You know, we wanted to get right live comments from the smartest people in the world. Right live comments from the smartest people. Rob Hubble just now tweeted. I don't know who this is. Rob Hubel. I don't know who that is. Maybe you do. Celebrity. If you see me at the movies by myself, please don't feel sorry for me. All my friends are pooping. That's right. Natasha Leggero, does anyone know who she is? She just tweeted, everything McDonald's puts on a billboard looks like diarrhea. Not saying that's not an unintelligent tweet. Goodness. And of course, because no one else is paying attention, Representative Jerry Lewis. Right? Representative Jerry Lewis just tweeted about, obviously, the debt ceiling problem. I have faith the administration will find a way to reduce spending without leading to the deaths of children. Wow. And Shaq just tweeted, Twitter mirror on the wall. Who's the best Twitterer of them all? This is very, very crucial. This is right out of the smartest people in the world. We got Casey Anthony, not guilty. Everyone upset about it. We got a 19-year-old drinking until she vomits, 5 months pregnant. We've got everyone who knows the names of every Kardashian. And we've got ladies, girls who can't name one branch of the government. The revelry of children and the reverie of human life is disappearing. And here's another story that really got my attention. And it happened just this weekend in the Chicago Sun-Times. The Chicago Sun-Times had a headline said, "The Disappearing Black Middle Class." And the statistics from the Economic Policy Institute were indeed sobering. In 2007, black households had an average median net worth of $13,450. In 2009, and to now, that figure has plummeted 83% to $2,170. You're right, I just said the median net worth of a household. One person simply says, in the article, says this is way before closures on subprime mortgages. A large share of the subprime mortgages of which were held by African Americans. Now, while unemployment has hit everyone, black men has been hit 16% unemployment, the highest level since the Department of Labor began to keep records in 1972. The article goes on to say, because not only are African Americans disproportionately the beneficiaries of federal programs, from the Earned Income Tax Credit to aid for education and student loans, they are even overrepresented in the federal workforce than they are on state payrolls. Right? 10% of a civilian labor force is African American. However, of the government, they are 18%. They are a quarter of all employees at the Treasury and Veterans Affairs. They are a third at the State Department. They are almost 40% at the Department of Education and almost 40% at the Housing and Urban Development. They are 42% at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And the Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation. They are 55% of the employees at the Government Printing Office, and they are 82% of the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. They are also 44% of Fannie and 50% of Freddie. The article goes on and says, not only are African Americans overrepresented among government employees, these jobs are the backbone of the black middle class. For federal pay and benefits have in recent years far outstripped those of the private sector. In fact, from 2000 to 2010, the number of federal employees earning over $150,000 increased tenfold. The number doubled in the first 2 years alone of the Obama administration. The average pay of a federal civil servant in 2009, after benefits were factored in, was $123,000, twice the average pay and benefits of the $61,000 in the private sector. The article goes on to say that because of salaries and benefits that District Columbia and federal employees receive, Washington is first among all metropolitan areas in per capita income. The article says no segment of the population has benefited from the Great Society that was launched in the mid-1960s more than African Americans. But now the U.S. government, running its third deficit of 10% of gross domestic product, cutting $4 trillion from the future spending being talked about, as African Americans have benefited immensely from the Great Society, they too are most likely to get hurt as these cuts come. In other words, if you're using a product and the product gets taken away, you're going to be the first person to be affected. My point of the matter is this. It's not African-American America. It's not white America. It's not Mexican-Americans. It's all Americans that don't look to themselves for their own success. Do we see that it's possible? Tie it all together, the celebrities, Casey Anthony, the tweets from the celebrities, the people following the celebrities more than they follow the government. Tie it all together. And you have to figure out what is now the motivating factor of the world today. If you were to listen to Little Bow Wow, it would be to get your drink on, as he tweets. Or, I'm so messed up, I've got to drive home, as he tweets. Or, as Ashley Fink tweeted, okay, I do not remember making my bed this morning. Who's been in my house? Or did I become a grown-up all of a sudden? I want everyone in these hard times to start looking inside yourself, because you have everything you need to succeed inside you before you were born. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you look to someone else, excuse me, I don't have a cough button. If you look to someone else for your success instead of yourself, that success can be taken away from you just as easily as it was given to you. This was the Twitter episode of the Jack Hatfield Show. No animals were hurt during this broadcast. We do hope you come back next week and listen. If you're listening to this on a recording, it won't be next week. It'll be in a couple days. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.